Bob Stefanowski. Bob, good morning.
Hello there, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate it.
No, hey, listen, thanks for always, you know, answering the call when we invite you onto the show. We love having you on.
Well, you got a great listener base. You guys did a great job on tolls because it looks like we may have defeated them, and you guys were a big part of that, and your listeners, I know.
Thank you very
much. At one of the toll rallies, and that means a lot to people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't think we interviewed our Governor Ned Lamont. I don't know if you caught any of that.
I didn't. I would have loved to have heard that.
Oh, yeah. We repeated the interview that my friend did, and it was, let me tell you, right there.
I'll send it over to you. I will.
But I'd love to hear it.
It's only about 20, 23 minutes long, but no softballs were lobbed. I think you'd be impressed with this interview. But so listen, there's a couple of things. Number one, there's Governor Lamont's 2030 plan that would where there's 14 tolls at bridges, and then there's also Len Fasano and the Senate Republicans came at a press conference yesterday at 11 o'clock with an answer to that, and it's called Faster Connecticut, F-A-S-T-R-C-T. In which there would be no tolling gantries at all, there'd be a little tap into the rainy day fund. So, what I want to do is, Bob, is get your opinion on each plan, if we may.
Well, Governor Lamont's plan is a non-starter because it has tolls in it.
Correct.
I think the issue with the governor is he's lost total credibility with the people of Connecticut. I've got a editorial coming out Sunday in the Hartford Current, you know, and a year ago he said he wasn't going to put tolls up at all, and now he changes the name to user fees, and he's saying they're temporary. How gullible does this governor think the people of Connecticut are? You can only lie to them a certain number of times where they're, you know, they're not going to be fooled again.
And I actually brought both of those points up to him and said that in a very similar manner, as you just stated. But yet, we also heard he was twisting a lot of arms with Senate Democrat members, and to no avail. They really are concerned next year when they heard the campaign going on where it's you vote for tolls, you lose at the polls, and that no toll CT. I guess I don't know if they're seeking PAC to create a PAC to make sure that they help fund the opponent of anybody who votes for tolls, but. This could be, I'm not going to say it's completely dead, but let's just say it's sleeping right now. It's.
I think it's falling asleep and will fall asleep soon.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, this governor has a majority in the House. He has a majority in the Senate. It's his number one issue, and he can't get it passed through his own party. That tells you a lot about his leadership style, about the level of credibility. But he's got his own party coming up against him. And you know, in a way, it's funny. I mean, you know, he couldn't have done a worse job rolling it out. But in a way, it's sad because these are important issues, and we spent the last 9 months talking about tolls that nobody wants rather than the real issues facing our state, like an underfunded pension plan and everything else that we should be dealing with.
That's right.
You know, people also could say that he really has no experience in understanding how things truly operate under the Gold Dome in our capital city. That you've got to play. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I mean, a lot of it is about leadership. And, you know, the guy ran a small cable company with 100 people. And now he's running an organization the equivalent size of a Fortune 100 company. And it's just a very different skill set, influencing people. You know, setting out an agenda, sticking to it. He hasn't done any of that. And I don't know whether he can recover from it. You know, after 1 year, it may be too late.
Well, you would think, though, that since he's really has the majority, the trifecta, he's a Democrat governor. He's got a huge lead in the House with a huge majority with Democrats and even in the Senate to an extent. So he's got he's got the majority in all three. In both chambers, anyway, you would think that this would be a slam dunk for him.
It should be, and I can't wait to hear the interview because I don't know what his answer is to all these things. Like, when you ask him why he changed his mind on tolls, I don't know how he answers that or why we should believe that the tolls will now be temporary. I don't know how he even stands up to these positions anymore because he's lost total credibility.
Yeah.
But if you look at it and he says these things and then you look at what's happened and has happened, you know that it's just not going to work.
No, I mean, the plan he comes out with is a fairy tale. You know, the trains are going to suddenly run at 110 miles an hour. He's going to create 260,000 jobs over 10 years. And by the way, every one of those is going to go to union employees rather than the 85% of the people in the state that are not union. And this is what frustrates people. It's the back office deals, the lack of credibility, the lack of clarity. And he could not have done a worse job of rolling out this infrastructure plan over the last 9 months. It couldn't be any worse than it was.
Do you think he knows deep down, you think he's aware that his political future really rides on this?
Well, you know, I used to, at the debates, we used to talk backstage, and I don't think he's going to run again. I mean, I don't think he ever intended to run again. It'll be interesting to see what he does, but... you know, he's been in politics a long time. It'd be very interesting to see what he decides to do next.
You think he's a one-term governor by his choice?
I think he could be. I don't know, I have any inside information, obviously, but just his tone and you know, it's got to be a tough road for him right now. This is a big job that he wasn't prepared for. So I think he'll either double down and say, I need to do it better next time, or I think he'll back out. I don't know which it'll be.
Well, you said you talked to him backstage at some of those debates. You don't need to go into detail, but what were some of the topics, let's say?
Well, you know, we agreed that whoever won, we were going to try to work together. And the first couple of months, I did try to work. We had a very nice lunch after the election, and I said I'd do what I could. But then on day 38, when he came out and said he was going to put tolls up, that was it for me. I mean, I really would have liked to have helped the proper agenda, but, you know, when you got somebody that lies about something during the campaign to get elected, I said, that's it. I'm going to flip the switch here, and I'm coming after him. And I've been coming after him for a year now, along with a lot of other people.
He doesn't consider it lying, though. He said that... He was just misinformed that he couldn't he wouldn't be able to meet his fiscal goal of revenue by just tolling trucks at six or seven times. And I even said to him in the interview, I said, well, you know, you realize that a lot of those trucks are transporting goods that the citizens of our state are consuming or utilizing. And don't you think they're just going to pass that off? Pass that on to the middle class once again getting squeezed.
There's no good answer there. It's either he was lying or he's incompetent, because it was pretty transparent that truck tolling, number one, it was being disputed in Rhode Island. We weren't even sure whether it was going to be allowed to just toll trucks. And number two, it was apparent that wasn't going to be enough money. And number three, he diverted $170 million from the transportation fund and created his own problem. So at best, it's disingenuous. But either way, you know, that's not what you want your leader to be doing.
Have you looked at the Republican plan yet?
I haven't. You know, my question is, should we be putting up an alternative? I mean, you know, from a political standpoint, we got the governor on the ropes right now. And then the second one is there a way to cut costs, scale down this plan, and, you know, have it be a short-term 2 to 3 year plan rather than borrowing more? That's my question. Is there a better way to go with this, which is what I said in my editorial? Let's try to stop trying to solve all the world's problems and talk about 2030. Use some of the existing bonding capacity. Take the $170 million back from the general fund or from the transportation fund and put it back in. And maybe there's something shorter term we could do on a prioritized basis. That's my question, Gary, and I don't know the answer.
But what about the unfunded pensions?
Well, that part of it I agree with. If you've got money in a surplus sitting there earning 1% interest, and you can use some of that to pay down a pension obligation, which is extraordinarily expensive, we should be thinking about doing that. You know, given the governor an out on this transportation dream that he's got, I don't know. I'm still, you know, kind of mulling it over.
Yeah, even if he takes the Senate Republicans' ideas, and let's say he could theoretically turn it into his own, right? Just doctor it up a little bit, change some of the wordings around and put his name on it, and then he saves the day.
Yeah, I mean, he came out in April, May, and said, getting tolls done, my entire governorship is predicated on getting tolls done. we've now defeated Tulsa. It appears that we have.
Well, let's not, hold on. Let's not get.
Listener.
Yeah. Well,
and you know why let him off the hook?
Yeah. Well. So that's how you interpret it. You interpreted the Senate Republicans' plan as taking the letting the governor off the hook.
I don't know enough about it. I'm just saying, is there another way without borrowing a ton of money right now? There's a lot of money sloshing around up in Hartford. We know what the priorities are. Should we be taking a look at that? That's my only point.
Do you have do you stay in touch with any of the Senate minority leader or the House minority leader, Themis or Lennon?
I talk occasionally to them. I haven't seen these plans. I'd like to look at them. And I'm sure they're trying to do the right thing. At the end of the day, we have to fix our infrastructure. So I don't know. I need to look at it more.
If you or anybody else, by the way, would like to look at this in more detail. This is called FASTER CT.
Yes.
FASTER is an acronym for Fiscal Accountability and Sustainable Transportation Reform. All you've got to do is visit CTSenateRepublicans.com. That's CTSenateRepublicans.com. And you just look for FASTER CT, and you'll probably have all the details. But some of the bullet points, Bob, it solves our transportation problem, funding and special transportation fund solvency. No tolls, no tax increases, cuts back on bonding, creates jobs, pays off long-term liabilities, leverages federal dollars, maximizing federal low-interest TIFIA loans to potentially 0.8%, prioritizes needed projects, creates accountability and vetting of all DOT projects, ensures communication with New York on rail projects, and restores money that was diverted from the Special Transportation Fund over the last decade.
No, and that all sounds pretty good, and it's infinitely better than what Governor Lamont proposed. The question what bothers me is there's never any discussion of cutting costs. And it's in my editorial. Our costs per administrative mile are seven times the national average. Seven times. So I just get worried when we pour money into the most inefficient system in the country without having any discussion about how we become more efficient in building the roads and bridges. And I'd love to see some cost cuts.
This editorial that you've written, it's going to be in the Hartford Courant this Sunday, right?
Yes.
Yep. We've only got about a little less than a minute left. Can you just give us a quick teaser, a little sample of what you outline in?
Yeah, it's really focused on the lack of leadership by our governor. He's lost credibility. Rather than changing the substance of the plan, he changed the word toll to user fees. Now he's claiming they're temporary. We've wasted 9 months talking about something in tolls that no one in the state wants, and we knew it from the start. It's time for, to wake up and start addressing the real issues. Underfunded pension plans, improving our education, all the things that this governor said he was going to do, instead of looking at 9 months of a plan that nobody really wanted. And it's unfortunate that it's happened. And that's why he's ranked 50 out of 50 governors right now.
Yeah. All right, Bob. As let me tell you, as always, I knew what we get with you. You always do an exceptional job, and this is why we contact you all the time to be a guest on our show. And we thank you again for this morning.